Imagine a space for South Asian women where stories are not just told, but actually felt. This is Rue, Rising Over Obstacles and Healing, brought to you by Jyoti and Monica, two friends who set out to carve a little space and make a difference by sharing stories and fostering healing and strength within our community. We invite you to listen and reflect, finding your own path one story at a time. And just for sticking around, there's a golden biscuit at the end of each episode. ABCD, American Born Confused They See. You've heard it, maybe even said it. This label pretty much sums up what it feels like to be stuck between two worlds. Not Indian enough for some people, and not American or Canadian enough for others. Today on Rue, we're digging into that exact feeling. Growing up with a mixed identity and trying to figure out where you truly belong. So get ready for a very candid conversation between Monica and I as we dive into what it was like for us growing up in America and Canada. So Monica, I can't really say that I am a ABCD because, as you know, I wasn't born in America. But you, on the other hand, born in Canada.
Yeah.
You're a CBCD.
I'm a CBCD. I started hearing that when that came out. It was a movie or something, right?
Yeah.
I have to say, I didn't really feel that ever until probably I got older.
Mm-hmm.
So elementary school, my brother and I were the only Indians in the school. Wow. We grew up in Toronto. It was diverse in Caucasians because of the East European population. So, you know, we had Greeks, Italians, Eastern European, things like that, a variety, but not with any South Asian culture. We did have a mix of some West Indians and African-American, but we were the only Indians.
Oh, wow.
So growing up, I always felt like I'm Indian. I knew we were Indian, of course, culture, food, all that. But I didn't realize that I wasn't quote unquote Indian until we moved into another city, which was very much more multicultural and diverse.
Okay.
Where when I went to that school, there was a variety of Desis.
Okay.
So Desis from other countries.
Yeah.
Non-Punjabis. I was Punjabi, right? So I always just thought everyone's Punjabi.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, I'm a new kid. I was always shy. So I had to make friends. And naturally, the Desis came to me to make friends. And I was like, yes, good. I don't have to try to be friends with anyone because that was always hard for me.
Yeah.
But then I slowly started seeing people would associate you with who you're friends with.
Okay.
Initially, the ones that were quote unquote too Desi were the nicer ones. And they came to me and they befriended me. And they were great, these girls, I have to tell you. But I started realizing there were a lot of things that culturally, even though we were South Asian, I didn't resonate with them because they were raised in households that were very strict.
Okay.
Very, I guess you would say, embedded in South Asian laws and rules and customs.
Yeah.
So, you know, I slowly kind of changed gears towards friends I could relate to. And then came in the completely Canadian friends. So I was like, yeah, I got this. Because that's who I was friends with before.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I was a teenager. I turned 13 when we had moved. And that's when you start to really go out to movies and malls and things like that. But at that time, we had just moved. My parents were not okay with these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even allowed to go out for lunch. Like, they were like, you can come home for lunch or you can have lunch at school, but you're not going to go to the McDonald's or the mall yet to go have lunch.
Yeah.
So then I would be left out. I'd be like, oh, no. And then they wouldn't understand it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? What don't you get? Right?
Yeah.
And then I finally found my clique in eighth grade where they were South Asian, but they were born in Canada.
Okay.
So they had some limitations like I did, but not as many.
Okay.
So we listened to the same kind of music. You know, we watched the same kind of TV, had the same jokes. Clothing was similar, not, you know, like things like that, right? Like, not
you
too provocative.
Relate.
You could relate.
Yeah.
And that's when I started to realize, and it's also that age, right? Like you yourself become, me and my best friend, if she's listening, we were kind of bullies. So she probably turned me
you
into
a bully.
I'm going to blame it on her.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't picture this. You being a bully?
You know, at the time, I didn't think I was a bully. I thought I was being funny. Like, I wouldn't purposely do it to, like, it was more of coming from a funny place, right? So
like,
we would
like
put labels. We would be like, oh, that person's a fob.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Fresh
off the boat. That person has BO.
Oh.
Right? Or that person is too Caucasian for us. Mm. And we used to have a name for that.
What was the name?
Barley. So barley. That no one would know barley. So barley is like a wheat.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it is, but in Canada, we used to realize that a lot of the Caucasians used to have that for breakfast. And we never had it for breakfast.
Like cracked wheat?
Yeah, like cracked wheat and things like that. Right. Yeah. So then I don't know. I mean, it was a thing, right? And they were like, oh, it's like blonde. And, you know, they're blonde. So anyways, we made up a term called barley. Okay. But yeah, there were all these little things that we would, you know, say and do to each other. And you start categorizing at a young age.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. One of the first encounters I remember when I was like attacked for not being Indian enough, which I never really was.
Yeah.
My husband had come to my husband now, but at the time he wasn't. He was just visiting with family.
Friend. Oh, okay.
Yeah. With the common family that we have. And he goes, what's your name? And I'm like, Monica. He goes, no, what's your real name? Monica.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, but what's your Punjabi name? Like, is your new name? And I looked at him like, bro, that's my real name.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, that can't be right. And then he's like, yeah, I'm going to call you Manpreet from now on because that makes sense. And I'm like, who are you?
Yeah.
You're a guest at my house. I've just known you for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, who are you to just tell me? And my mom
he got you riled.
Oh, no.
And then he eventually got you.
maybe that was the thing, right? But yeah, and then I didn't know him that well to be like, my mom actually named me after her best friend in India.
Oh,
so it's okay. Not like, you know, they were trying to fit in the culture or anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's a song.
Exactly.
It's from that movie, Jojita Wohi Sikandar.
I don't know the name of the movie, but...
Monica.
Yeah.
I think so. It's not coming to me right now, yeah. But there are a couple of songs with the name Monica.
Yeah. You know? But I remember that's when I was like, oh, okay. You know, I guess I'm not. Yeah. It kind of, as I got older, you kind of see it because you want to see yourself represented on, at that time it was TV, magazines, mm-hmm. songs, and anyone that kind of closely resembled any kind of color, I would relate to it.
Yeah.
So a lot of my friends were from cultures that were European.
Okay.
So either their parents were first generation from Greece, Italy, Croatia, and you have very similar
cultures,
yeah. Right? Upbringing, yeah. Things like
very
that.
Very family oriented,
you know, a bit more strict with going out and things like that. Like they're lenient, but not as much. Even the way the parents get angry.
Yeah.
Similar.
Yeah. The way they discipline. Yeah.
And I remember younger watching TV, we would relate more to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air because that was one of the, or like Family Matters.
Yeah.
So it was like the first kind of families that we saw of color.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So things like that.
I remember. Yeah. I used to love Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then later on in life, university was fine. It was okay. I was very like to myself more so. But when I got married and I moved here is when I really kind of was out of place again, because from my in-law side, they were much more attached to their culture.
Yeah.
So the songs, the dancing, the singing, there were so many things that I didn't know. The TV. But yeah, like I never watched Indian TV shows.
Yeah.
Except for those weekend ones, like the local channels that would come on.
The AVS.
Like we never watched CTV. We never watched the dramas. I, as a Punjabi, I didn't know what Gidda was or Boliya.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So I remember the first time telling my sister-in-law this, and she loves to dance. You know that.
Yes.
She's a great dancer. She loves that side to her. And she looked at me like, what do you mean? And I was like, I never did it. Never saw it. I don't know what it is.
How did you grow up in Canada, in Toronto, and not know Gidda?
So I never used to actually dance at the dance floor. I was always shy.
Okay.
And number two, any parties or anything we went to, my dad's cousins were all born in Canada.
Okay.
So I don't ever remember seeing them actively doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe like my dad's chachis and puas would do it, but because they were older, we wouldn't really go pay attention to that kind of stuff. And also you have to remember parties were a little smaller then. So any of those smaller wedding functions, my mom used to go mostly. Like, so if there was Maya and Lady Sangeets used to be at home.
Oh, yeah.
So we probably never went, or even if I did, I was probably off somewhere playing with the kids and not really, you know, paying attention to what the ladies were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like that.
Yeah.
And my parents never enforced it on us either.
Okay.
I just really loved hip hop and all that. And my dad's cousins were the one that told us about all this kind of music and everything like that.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Did you ever have cornrows? I have to know.
I did.
Did you really? And
my summers used to be like that. Yeah, my friend, she used to do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is very interesting. So my experience is slightly different. I guess I've struggled with sort of a mixed identity. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's a little bit different because, so I grew up in India.
Right.
Right. So when I came to the US, again, it was the same thing. It was a school in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. and there weren't very many Indians. There were mm-hmm. a lot of, like, you know, African Americans, yeah. a lot of Caucasians, mm-hmm. but there weren't very many Indians at all at that school at that time. And I remember having to just sort of fit in. So I worked on losing mm-hmm. my Indian accent.
Oh.
Okay. First of all, actually, I didn't even realize I had an accent.
I was going to ask you, how did you learn or realize? Like, were you told, teased about it?
I don't know. It's strange. I've mm-hmm. always had a lot of confidence in myself. Mm-hmm. So I think I've always thought the way I speak is the way to speak.
Yeah.
There's no other way, uh-huh. you know? So I think I remember coming to, you know, I was in maybe fifth grade, sixth mm-hmm. grade, and, you know, I still had my accent unbeknownst to me. Mm-hmm. So I didn't realize that I actually had an accent
yeah.
until a few years after I had been a couple of years maybe. A couple of years in. I mm-hmm. didn't know right off the bat that I had any sort of an accent. Mm-hmm. I just thought that everyone else around me wasn't speaking well. Okay.
The whole school in Brooklyn.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like, you know, I remember we're in class and the teacher was having everyone read aloud from a book. And this kid started reading and I was like, wait, he's mispronouncing all these words. He doesn't uh-huh. know how to read. And so then I felt compelled to raise my hand and to read. And when I started reading, everyone started looking at me, right?
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm like, see, now they see how these words should be pronounced.
So everyone kind of turned around and looked at you.
And they're looking at me. Uh-huh. And I'm just thinking, they're just looking at me because they're finally hearing the words the way they should be pronounced.
Like you're like their God. Indian, you're the Messiah has arrived. And they're like, oh.
You know, it's just so funny as a child, like what you think of, yeah. right? So, I mean, in a way, it was good that I didn't have, mm-hmm. you know, low confidence.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it took me a couple of years to realize. I think mm-hmm. when I started watching American TV, I started, you know, hearing like all these words. And mm-hmm. for example, one of the words is buried, mm-hmm. right? Like, I buried this person or whatever, yeah. right? I used to say buried.
Oh,
because like, in India, like it was like buried. So okay. I'd just be like buried, mm-hmm. you know, little things like that. Mm-hmm. When I started actually like listening to music and then like American music and watching mm-hmm. English shows, reading books, then I realized, wait, so the way I was speaking wasn't necessarily the right way. I probably had this like huge accent and yeah. these people, it was like this aha moment when uh-huh. it finally clicked. I thought back to that day sitting in the classroom and I'm like, you know, they were probably looking at me like, what the hell is yeah. she saying?
Well, it's nice you that know? No one laughed or said anything. Yeah. Friend, that's really good.
Yeah. And, yeah. you know, at that, because I was so fresh off the boat mm-hmm. that if someone had said something, I yeah. probably wouldn't have understood it anyway. You know, yeah. but I have to credit my dad mm-hmm. with the fact that he really wanted us to get acclimated very quickly.
Yeah.
So even like my ESL classes, I think I took them for a few months and mm-hmm. that was it.
Okay.
And it was because he felt like, you know, you're in this country, you mm-hmm. need to learn this language. Yeah. And he just sort of threw us in there. He was, you know, my sister and I and my brother, he wanted us to speak in English only.
Oh, even at home?
Even at home okay. with each other. If there were any phone calls that would come in, mm-hmm. he would make me answer those calls mm-hmm. and try to figure out what that other person's asking on wow. the other end mm-hmm. in English and to be able to respond. Mm-hmm. So he just kind of believed in like, you just, you know, 100% go in and learn this language.
Yeah.
Even like he didn't want us to really make Indian friends or anything like mm-hmm. that. So it worked in the mm-hmm. sense that, you know, we started speaking English very fluently, very mm-hmm. quickly. But on the other hand, I think as soon as he realized that we didn't have any issue now with the
yeah.
the language, speaking English, right. he switched gears on us. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, okay, from this day forward, mm-hmm. you are only to speak in Punjabi.
Oh, he didn't want you guys to forget it.
Yeah, so he yeah. wanted, so it, it worked to a certain extent mm-hmm. because with mom and dad, we started speaking in Punjabi again. Uh-huh. But then with each other, we just sort of stuck with English.
Yeah.
And to this day, we only communicate with each other in uh-huh. English. We'll say Punjabi words here and there.
Yeah.
But with like, you know, our parents, it was like a given we had to speak in Punjabi. Mm-hmm. So I think it worked in the sense that I feel like I have a very good command on both languages, mm-hmm. English and Punjabi.
Yeah.
But along with this came the whole mixed identity mm-hmm. sort of a situation. Because when I moved from New York to Seattle, mm-hmm. all this time we were trying to blend in. It was, you know, the main thing was just there weren't as many Indians around. You wanted to blend in. You wanted to get acclimated to the culture here.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess I became American to a certain extent mm-hmm. because of that. And then, you know, when we moved, what I noticed was there were two cliques in school. So we had like there were Desis and there was a set of girls who were very Desi. Like they had just come from India. So mm-hmm. they communicated with each other in Punjabi all the time. And by then I had gotten so used to speaking in English that I wasn't speaking in Punjabi as much. Right. So I felt like I didn't really quite belong with them. Mm-hmm. And then there was a group of girls who were born and raised in the U.S., even though they were Indian, right? Mm-hmm. So they were very American in the sense that I was just getting rid of my Indian accent, mm-hmm. even though I was speaking in English fluently. It still takes time,
yeah,
right? Like to really fully own the language, I mm-hmm. feel like, you know? Yeah. So it was still in my head where I was still trying to just make sure that I'm pronouncing certain words correctly and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I felt like I couldn't be myself even with them. Mm-hmm. So I was just sort of in the middle. Like I mm-hmm. wasn't Desi enough for the Desi crowd and I wasn't American enough for the American crowd.
Yeah.
I was like somewhere in the middle. So what I mean by not being Desi enough is that like a lot of those girls, you know, they would have braids, they would braid their hair. They weren't allowed to hang out at all. So they had like no freedom. They had to, you know, go straight from school back home. And for the most part, they actually wore salwar kameez at home.
So very conservative.
Very conservative. Whereas like they thought that wearing skirts that were even like ankle length, mm-hmm. that it was too modern.
Oh.
You know? Yeah. Which, so I couldn't relate to that.
Yeah, you can't relate to that. And then you feel like an outsider.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because they're like, wait, like, yeah.
You're feeling judged.
Exactly.
You're not comfortable in your own skin and you're at this age. I feel like for me personally, it wasn't until probably after high school when I was completely like, I always like you, I always had the confidence. Yeah. I was fine with who I was, but you're not completely like that. I feel like until you graduate high school.
Yeah.
Like exactly. That, like who cares what I'm wearing, what I own, don't own.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
all that.
Exactly. Like, yeah. So for me, I think it was, I couldn't really belong in that group. And the other group was they had full freedom. Mm-hmm. And my parents were still strict. So they gave me freedom, but it was like just the right amount.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Like where I had some leeway, mm-hmm. but like I still couldn't just like, I remember, and this is something maybe you'll have to fulfill this, like, you know, I don't know if I want to say a dream, uh-huh. a want of mine.
Yeah.
Okay. So Gerba was really big in high school and, you know, my ABCD crowd, they were able to go. Their parents actually, I think, liked the fact that their kids wanted to do something that was still cultural.
Yeah.
And the Desi crowd, like they were not allowed to go because mm-hmm. it's a mixed crowd. So they don't want you going. Right.
Yeah.
My parents were like, no, mm-hmm. you can't go.
Yeah.
You know, I remember like always asking, like, I want to go to Gerba. And they were like, nope. You know, when you get married, you can go to all the Gerbas you want. Right.
How many of us can relate to that line? Right.
It was always like when you get married.
It was always when you get married.
Yeah, exactly. So newsflash, I get married to a guy who is all about Punjabi culture. I mean, you know, like, he's like American too. Hip hop.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah. He is.
All that.
Yeah.
But then definitely not Gerba.
No.
So he was like, no, I'm not going to Gerba.
Yeah.
And you know what? Sadly, I've never been to Gerba.
See, I never got to go either. And I did get to fulfill it after I was married.
Really?
I made sure I went once, if not twice, with my sister-in-laws.
Really?
We did. Yeah. It was in a school.
Yeah.
And we did it. It was fun. It was nice. I got to fulfill that dream.
Yeah. Well,
because my parents didn't let me. But here's the funny thing. Yes. Garba, not allowed to. Yeah. School dances and prom, allowed to. So it was always this not knowing what you could or could not do. Right? Yeah.
I know. That's right. Having to navigate all this.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have it easy. Kids have it easy nowadays.
They have it so easy. And our schools, the schools that our children go to, is quite diverse to the point where I think our ethnicity overpowers the American population.
Yes, yes,
so
it certainly does.
If anything, their culture is celebrated at school. The teachers make a point of it.
Yeah.
Which is so great. So I don't think they have that identity crisis.
No.
And it's the opposite when you said you had that confidence in when you spoke English. It just reminded me of the confidence that my children have when they speak Punjabi.
Oh,
And it's cute because, you know, they'll have those little, they mix up the noun and verb, the order of it and things like that. But I love the confidence that they speak in.
Yeah.
And it's cute.
It is.
And
it is.
They have that because they grew up in a household, I guess, where we speak both Punjabi and English, where so far as parents, we're cool. Yeah. They may not think we're cool, but we are.
Cool. We're very cool.
We're very cool.
Yeah.
And at school, they get to experience that as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But the other thing I remember is because, I couldn't connect with the very Desi crowd or the very American crowd, I ended up being friends with neither. My best friend was Korean and I had another friend who was Chinese.
Yeah.
So that's why I love Asian food.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I have that side of me because of the friends that I made when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I sort of connected back with my culture once I was in college.
Okay.
Because I feel like people are more accepting in college.
Right.
And you really sort of grow into your own.
Mm-hmm.
You find your own personality. Like, you're not really trying to fit in.
No, you're not.
I feel like all of middle school, high school, I was just trying to fit in and I couldn't fit in anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then in college, it was like, you know what? I have to just taking my classes, doing what I need to do and just being myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think when you let yourself just be who you are, people will just gravitate towards you.
Yeah.
Like-minded people.
Like-minded people, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
You'll just kind of find your tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's sort of what happened with me as well.
Mm-hmm.
But one, I have to share this one thing because it still is so clear in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with the way people judge you as well, right?
Oh, yeah. So
based on your outward appearance.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up in Seattle, I told you, you know, it was a multicultural school.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still not as many Indians as there are now.
Mm-hmm.
Like now I was just in Seattle and the airport, I saw so many Desis. You would think you're in New York, you know? And that didn't used to be the case back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, we were still sort of far and few, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my local grocery store.
Yeah.
I would go there once, twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew the cashiers there.
Mm-hmm.
They knew me very well. And, you know, we would chat, we would talk, you know, whenever I'd go in there. And I remember I went in one day with a suit. It was right after the Gurdwara. I had a suit on. I just, you know, popped into the grocery store. And this cashier who knew me, didn't recognize me.
Yeah.
And she goes to me, "Would you like a paper or plastic bag?"
Wow. And she knew you, but just because of your outfit.
She just
right
didn't,
away.
She just, I guess she didn't recognize me. I mean, this is going back, right? Back in the day, it's, you know, wearing salwar kameez is more commonplace now, I would say.
Yeah.
But, you know, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wait, she really thinks I can't speak English.
Yeah.
And so I turned around and I was just like, I would like
you
a
really
paper
did.
Bag. I was like, she turned red.
Yeah.
And then I was like, really? Come on. Like, you don't recognize me?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my gosh. Uh-huh. Oh, you know, she did afterwards, you know, but it's just like we make so many assumptions, right?
We do. I mean, we're all guilty of that. And when you said that, you know, I just remember as a child after if I was ever wearing any kind of Indian suit and we had to go run errands afterwards, it was usually after a family function, right? I would make sure I had a change of clothes with me because I would rather, you know, be found dead than walk around the store in my Indian clothes. And whereas now I think I've gone like, you know,
Okay.
If I need to quickly, like, that's it. It's fine.
Yeah. Now it's like very commonplace, right?
It's common. And everything has to do with age.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And growth, because you're just trying to fit in.
Yeah. I think what I've learned over the years is not to judge a book by its cover. I think we're so like, you know, like the lady at the grocery store, we're just so quick to do that. I am guilty of it myself. I saw someone who was wearing abaya and a hijab, and I just assumed that maybe she didn't know English very well. And I assumed that she was probably very sheltered and, you know, maybe not even very educated. It's tough for me to admit this because obviously we don't want to be like that.
Yeah.
But I have to say it was a learning experience for me because it's someone that I got to know very well. And she is like the opposite of what I had assumed. You know, she grew up here. She speaks English fluently. She's very well educated. And it's her choice to wear, you know, what she wears.
Yeah.
It wasn't forced upon her by her family or by her husband. It was a choice that she made on her own. And I think that really opened my eyes. And I felt so bad that I even assumed initially all those things about this person. So I think a lot of it has to do with as you get older, you encounter scenarios, situations that really open up your eyes and you tend to become a little bit more broad-minded.
And it's good that you are because, you know, if you just stayed like that always, you'd just be in your little lane.
Yeah.
And I'm glad.
Yeah.
That you took the time to get to know this person. And you also made a little checklist in your head, like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, I was not right about this. And how do I apply this later on?
Exactly.
To other situations or to people.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I know I've done that as well, too. You know, been proven wrong because you judge people over anything.
Yeah.
Right. Their clothing, tattoos.
Yeah.
Haircuts.
Yeah.
Hair color, all that. Right.
Yeah.
The assumptions of.
Exactly.
Yeah. Either they're too modern or they're, you know, whatever it is, X, Y, Z.
Yeah. And I think what we have to do is actually look at the person, speak to the person, get to know them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, decide if this is someone that you want to keep in your circle or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like rather than just making assumptions based on the, like you said, all those things, right?
Yeah.
Like the tattoos, the hair and whatnot.
Yeah. The physical characters and really getting to know the person. And then you figure out who you relate with.
Exactly.
And who you click with.
Yeah. And I think we've done a pretty good job. I think we've all sort of gravitated towards each other. And the circle that we have is a circle of mixed people, right?
It is. Yeah.
It's, you know, some that are born and raised here, some that, like me, came at an early age, and then also some that came after high school.
Yeah.
And we all have this big circle, but then we also have like friends that are outside from other cultures as well that we associate with. And that's something that I think is so important to teach our kids.
Yeah.
You know, my kids, and it worries me sometimes because like you said, the school that our kids go to is so multicultural that I feel like the South Asians are probably the majority in this school. And, you know, when my kids see me talk to, and I'll talk to everybody. I'll talk to moms of, you know, all the kids. Like, I don't really necessarily care what culture or what ethnicity or what skin color they are. You know, it's just, like you said, it's about connecting with the person. And my son made a comment one time that just did not sit well with me. And he was like, Mama, all my friends make fun of you and they all ask me, why is your mom always hanging out with those Muslim women?
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, what?
The fact that these kids pay attention to that and categorize it as that.
Yeah. So, you know, so you have to be so careful in trying to get them to be multicultural. I think it's like tipping the other way now where I was like, wait, no, you know, and I had to remind him. I'm like, you don't look at what religion that person is, what skin color they are, what, you know, what they're wearing. You look at the person. And, you know, I had to tell him, like, listen, growing up, I had all kinds of of friends.
Yeah.
You know, I had Asian friends, I had Caucasian friends. Like, mm-hmm. you have to be accepting and you really have to, you know, get to know people
yeah.
and not base it on, you know, whether they're just Indian, Punjabi, and then just stick to those.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. That confusion in identity for us actually led us into something that's great, because we're able to find qualities in people from all different backgrounds that we yeah. can relate to
yeah.
and become friends with.
Exactly.
Right? And be accepting.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I think when I look back now, looking at like the mixed identity and whatnot, I see it as a blessing.
Mm-hmm. So I met a great friend through work here, and she's born here. Mm-hmm. She's American Italian, first or second generation. And we were really best friends at work. And there's this one quality about her that it took me a little while to really appreciate. Like, I always saw it in action,
yeah.
but I didn't really realize it until I reflected upon it. Was she was that one person at work. Again, at work, we had a little clique because yeah. we were all the same age. So it was about 4 or 5 of us that, you know, we would always hang out together, always have lunch together, work together, whatever it was. But Jamie was the one that anyone who knew came into work, she would just automatically be the nicest person,
mm-hmm.
open arms, yeah. inviting, and all that. And here I was, Canadian born Indian,
yeah,
moved to America,
yeah.
but still had a judgy hat on me somehow, mm-hmm. internally. I didn't really think I did,
yeah.
but I was a little hesitant on people. Again, I would judge on their outward appearance,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we had people come from all different backgrounds at work. And sometimes I'd be like, oh, Jamie, don't invite that person for lunch, or don't, you know, like that. And she just, the most kind-hearted person. You would think someone who's born in America would not want to be around, again, someone who's probably just came from a South Asian country, has yeah. an accent, speaking language, all these different things that come along, right,
yeah.
with that. But no. And then I remember just whenever I feel like something like that is coming along, I'll always think back and be like, what would she do? You know,
that's
and try
great.
To
yeah.
keep that character.
Yeah.
Because it's something that I've admired about her.
Yeah.
That I really like. And, you know, you always think that that only comes from people of color, but here she is someone. And she didn't grow up in a very multicultural town either.
Yeah.
So it was mostly Americans. So for her to just naturally have that innate quality
yeah.
is wonderful.
Yeah. That's yeah. beautiful. And mm-hmm. I like that you've, again, kept yourself open-minded
yeah.
and that you have that self-reflection
mm-hmm.
to be able to recognize when you may be
yeah.
judging someone.
Right.
And then immediately in your head, yeah. the thought goes, well, what would Jamie do in this mm-hmm. case?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's beautiful because mm-hmm. I think life is all about learning
yeah.
as we go.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't evolve and implement changes, mm-hmm. then I don't know. I mean, what's the point?
You know, that's great. It reminds me of a quote. I'm not saying it word for word, but really they're saying the smartest students are the ones that know how to unlearn something.
Yeah.
And relearn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, so, that's true.
Yeah.
Because I remember even like at work, you know, I did mm-hmm. recruiting for many years
yeah.
and a lot of clients would say, well, we want someone with just like 2 years of experience
mm-hmm.
and not like 10, 20 years
mm-hmm.
because we want to teach them a new way of doing something.
Yeah.
And they always felt that it would be harder
mm-hmm.
for someone who's been doing one thing for 10, 15 years
mm-hmm.
to teach a new concept or a new way of doing
yeah.
things to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why don't we all just do that? You
yeah.
know, why don't we all just unlearn
mm-hmm.
some of the things that we've learned along the way that no longer serve us
yeah.
and learn new things?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like,
yeah.
let's not judge
mm-hmm.
each other. And I still feel, even as a grown, married woman, mom of two, that sometimes I still feel like I'm being judged
yeah.
by those that are extremely American and those that are extremely, like, Indian.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And I'm not the only one.
No, it's not. And it definitely has to do with our self-esteem. And I think we've said this before, we're usually our worst critics.
Yeah, we are.
Right?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I remember back in the day, this is how I know
mm-hmm.
that I've kind of grown.
Yeah.
Because I just, you know, it's fine if I'm being judged, but
mm-hmm.
like, I just generally don't care anymore.
Yes.
And I'm not hiding any parts of my personality
yeah.
to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
I love to dance. You know,
mm-hmm.
I love to
yeah.
dance. And they see,
mm-hmm.
right? And I used to want to like fit in and not be too they see
mm-hmm.
with my moves and all this, you know? And somewhere along the way, I just stopped caring. And I'm like, this is who I am. I can be American, I can be Indian, I can be both. I don't need to be one or the other.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can have an open mind and I can still wear suits and I can still like dance like I just came from India. You know, I love Gidda. Like, yeah. I know you said you don't like, you know, you didn't know what Gidda was.
Yeah.
I grew up learning, like I was in school in India, like learning Gidda, and my mom like just loves Gidda. So she would even like as kids, you know, any event that we were at, she would be like Boliyapa, you know. I will say that that has not gone away.
Nope.
I just attended a wedding back home in on the West Coast, and my mom goes to me again, Chal Boliyapa de, you know.
Yeah, and that's just carried with you, because every time we have a party, we always, you just naturally gravitate towards it and you say, let's do it, right? And,
yeah.
And we're best friends.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't judge me because I didn't know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you haven't judged me because I love to do Boliya and Gidda.
Yeah.
You know? You know, and so, yeah, let's, you know, I don't think your mixed identity is a deficit. I think it's a very rich tapestry that's woven from different worlds. And you don't have to feel like you're not enough of anything. You are perfectly you. And that is more than enough. And that is our golden biscuit of the day. You are more than enough, whether you come from a mixed identity or not. Be confident in who you are and love and embrace all parts of your personality and all parts of what makes you you. With that thought, we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening to Roo. We appreciate you joining us as we cultivate a community of strong, empowered women, one story at a time. If you or someone you know has a story you'd like to share, please contact us at roodharaz@gmail.com. That's roohdaraz@gmail.com. Also, do us a favor and please share this podcast with your sisters, your mom, your friends, aunties, your eyebrow lady, like any lady you know. You know, you get the idea. Till next time, kush raho, be well.